Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Steve Fezzik, professional sports bettor, will join us. We will go over a little bit of everything, NFL, NFL preseason, just general betting strategy. Catch up with Fez. That will be interesting as we're getting close to football. By the time you listen to this, a week or so away from the Hall of Fame game. I know for some people, you know, who cares? Wake me up in September when the games actually count. Which is fair, and there is an element of that with me, too, where it's like, you know what, it's cool to see it back, but after a week or two, it's just, you know, let's get to the real thing. I get that, but it's coming, and when you get the Hall of Fame game back, that means college football not too far behind the week zero into a week one, so we're getting there, but while we get there, look, we love baseball as much as anything, and it's turning into, and this is going to be an interesting baseball week, where I think, and you look at some of these races, really fascinating. I think Detroit, and recording this before the games on Tuesday, has played themselves with a three-game losing streak. All three kind of bad losses. Maybe not the one Monday night where they were just outplayed, but they blew a lead on Saturday. They blew a lead on Sunday to the Royals. Both games at home. Royals are an awful team. You know, 20 games under 500. To lose those games, Detroit is now 7 under. They're 4 out of a wild card spot. I keep using the number, you know, 3 games out is the line where that's where I really have a decision to make. If it's anything under, I probably keep Scooble. If it's anything more, I probably sell and trade Scooble. 50-57, 7 games under, 4 games out of a wild card. With you're chasing also the Orioles, the Mariners, the Astros, and the Twins, and whoever's in the final spot, which is Cleveland right now. That's asking a lot. I think right now it's more 60-40, maybe even 70-30 that Scooble goes. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. And if he does go, you know, the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Rays, I mean, we all know the rumor teams. I keep thinking Philly is maybe a sleeper just because that's an aggressive GM, but who knows from a prospect standpoint, you know, if they can match these other offers. You know, I don't buy this idea that, well, they could have traded him a couple weeks ago. Now teams aren't going to give you as much. It's still, you got him for the stretch run and you got him for the playoffs. I don't buy that at all. I think he'll get a nice return on Scooble. And I do think at this point, he's probably going to be traded. And we're looking at some interesting races in the American League. The National League's a little more straightforward. The Braves have kind of staved off the Phillies for now. They're minus 425 favorites to win. Brewers are minus 750 to win the Central, and the Dodgers minus a bajillion or whatever they are to win the West. They're going to win the West once again. The AL, though, Yankees and Rays, pretty much a coin flip. Rays minus 105, Yankees plus 105. Central, still very interesting. White Sox plus 135, Guardians plus 165. Then you have the Twins at 5-1 and the Tigers at 7-1. And then the AL West, the Rangers now odds on, minus 110. The Mariners, man, you can never trust these Mariners pitchers. Mariners plus 175, Astros plus 400, everyone else 150-1 or longer. I know the Mariners pitchers are talented, and you look at on paper, this guy's an all-star, this guy does this, and these guys all have good numbers. Kirby got absolutely lit up. George Kirby got absolutely lit up Monday afternoon against Texas. Chance to get a split. They steal a game on Sunday afternoon where Texas, it looked like, had a chance to bury Seattle and really put a number on them. Up 3-1 in the seventh, Texas was. Seattle hits a 3-run homer, and they win that game. You think, all right, maybe Seattle kind of saved their season. I know that's maybe a little overdramatic, but maybe they can win the game on Monday with a good pitching matchup in their favor. Not the case. Seattle steamrolls them, and now Seattle is plus 175 and plus 175. And I just don't trust those pitchers in big spots. Just you can always count on, you know, if it's a big spot, Kirby, Gilbert, 6 innings, 4 or 5 runs. They just never seem to pitch well when they need to, including going back to last year in the ALCS when it was 2-0 Seattle in the best of 7, going home for games 3, 4, and 5 against Toronto. We weren't able to get that home. Still only 2.5 behind Texas entering play Tuesday, 3 out in the loss column, 52-55. Texas with a two games over 500. And the Astros now in second place at 53-55. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to even win that division. You might be able to win that division with 84, 85 wins. There's just not a lot of, you know, a lot of good teams there. They do have a positive run differential. Seattle does plus 8. Look at Houston's minus 45 and Texas is minus 21. To just go to show you how watered down, just how bad that American League West is. And similar in the AL Central, White Sox are plus 42 in runs, Cleveland minus 18, Minnesota minus 27. Detroit's actually plus 25. So it's complicated. If you're Detroit, it's not as easy as, hey, I sell Scooble and I move on with it. But because there's a case to be made. Hey, run differential, we get hot, American League's wide open, all that stuff. But probably leaning towards selling. The one bet I still like among all else, and I've come back to this bet a couple times, entering play Tuesday, Pittsburgh is a playoff team, the third wild card spot, tied with Arizona. Both teams are 55 and 52. I think Pittsburgh's probably in at the moment because of a tiebreaker. Don Kelly, the Pirates manager, is still plus 800 to win manager, NL Manager of the Year. If you look at the guys ahead of Kelly, Mattingly, all right, they've cooled off. If Philly's good every year. I know everyone loves Mattingly. I love Mattingly too. Are they really going to give it to Mattingly for winning a wild card? I don't think so. Probably not. Pat Murphy from Milwaukee has won this award 2 years in a row. They're going to give it to him for a third time? I'm not sure. Clayton McCullough from Miami, the Marlins manager, they just lost 12 games in a row. They've fallen out of it. I don't think he's winning if they don't make the playoffs. Walt Weiss, plus 600, the Braves manager. The Braves had a bad year last year, but the Braves have been good every year for like a decade now. I don't know that the narrative is there. Ollie Marmol for St. Louis. Yes, if they got in, they completely overachieved, he'd be live. But are they going to get in? Kelly, Don Kelly, the Pirates manager, is behind all these guys at plus 800. I think that's still a bet. I think that's still too long. I do think the Pirates, who are plus 200 to make the playoffs, they can make the case. You know, just bet the plus 200 to make the playoffs. You get your money quicker. You get it at the end of September as opposed to having to wait 6 weeks for these awards. And who knows, maybe the Pirates get in and he doesn't win it. But the Pirates have not won a series since the 1970s in the playoffs. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2015. And even that was a wild card, you know, play in one game scenario. I think there would be a huge amount of support sentiment for the Pirate manager. I mean, just picture the scenario where the Pirates clinch the playoffs. The manager will get so much credit. Kelly will get so much credit. He will catapult to being the favorite, the short shot, or one of the favorites, if that's the case. And right now, Pittsburgh, who, you know, it's much improved on offense. They've got good pitching. Skeens is actually, I don't say the weak link, but Skeens has not been Skeens in a while. Velocity's down. He got hit hard in the middle of the game the other night against the Cubs. I don't know what's going on with Skeens, but the rest of the pitching is good. And boy, if he could ever get Skeens back to being healthy and get them in the playoffs with some of their other pitchers and now this revitalized offense, they could be very dangerous. But I still like Kelly 8-1 to win Manager of the Year. I think above all else, this is that's the best bet among all this stuff. And we'll keep an eye on NL MVP as the price on Ohtani just continues to dwindle. Minus 130 now at FanDuel. Armstrong plus 100, even money. James Wood 25-1. Schwarber 40-1. Everyone else 100-1 or longer. I've been saying for a couple weeks, the field against Ohtani is a good bet. I don't know anymore if Armstrong at even money is a good bet. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on. And I know people have made the case, too, in the last couple of days. Mizorowski at 150-1. Could he just continue this dominance to the point where he gets in the MVP conversation? I think it's probably a stretch, but you know what? At 125, 150-1, I've made worse bets, as I like to say. But coming up, somebody who doesn't make worse bets, he makes good bets, and he joins us in a minute. Professional handicapper Steve Fezzik will go over some football. Basic strategy, who knows what we'll get into with Fez. That is coming up next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast, and we are joined now by Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper, multi-time contest winner, and I think we have a new way of introducing him, so I'll let him introduce himself. Steve, what's going on? Anything new to announce? Are you no longer a free agent?
I am no longer a free agent. I'm going to be providing my selections with the Dr. Chow Group at SICPicks.com. Very excited about this. I tell you what, we're doing it right in terms of everything that we're doing, full transparency of our results, all the lines available at multiple books, 3 books at a minimum. And I just am really excited about the partnership and working with Dr. Chow and his group.
Sounds good. Are you going to run into the situation though, where if you give it out, it's going to move and then it's no longer like, how do you walk that line of, hey, it's available now, but then it's going to move pretty quickly, especially, I don't know if you're doing preseason stuff or anything, but do you run into that issue?
Guys who've come before me have addressed that. Dr. Bob Sports, Right Angle Sports. I have zero affiliation with either one of those groups. In fact, I think one, if not both, might be not so happy with me, but they're both great services and they give out their plays. And guess what? Their plays move. In fact, I would say the number one indication for a sports service or for your own betting, whether you're going to win is whether you're getting CLV closing line value. So think about this. In order to get closing line value, then the line has to move. So if you think you can just like sit back, you know, hang out all week long, come in and see who Will Hill or Steve Fezzik liked on Thursday and bet it 10 minutes before the game starts on Sunday, it's probably going to be a whole lot more difficult to win. Having said that, here's the good news. If you do miss the plus 10 and a half that we, either one of us might release on a game and it goes to plus 10, the beauty with the prediction markets being what they are, you probably can turn right around and bet plus 10, minus 102 and essentially get an equivalent bet right now. That was not an option for the 30 years that I've been betting sports.
Where are you now? Last week of July, is vacation time over? Play time over? Are you back to grinding every day? We're about a week away from the preseason by the time people listen to this. Is it too early for that? Where are you out here in terms of just your summer and kind of getting back to work and getting ready for the football season?
I am just starting with the football grind. In fact, my project last night, I went through Dr. Chow's injury numbers from last season. Who was the most healthy team? Who was the most injured team? And what's interesting is you want to selectively fade the team that was healthy, because even though maybe they got great trainers and maybe they're less likely to be injured this year, they're also much more likely to have more injuries still than they had last year. And the teams that were very unhealthy last year are certainly more likely to be less injured. And so we've got three teams that are colliding. We've got three healthy teams playing unhealthy teams week one. Specifically, the 49ers were decimated with injuries. They're playing the Rams in Australia, catching 3.5. Cleveland, a very injured team, is catching 7.5 against Jacksonville. And Washington, Gill's favorite team, catching plus 4.5 against Philly. Philly very healthy. Washington very injured last year. Having said all that, well, do we really want to bet on Cleveland or the Jets or Miami or Arizona? Four very injured teams last year and four teams that may not be so interested, their organizations, in winning football games this year.
Yeah, although, and we go through this a lot on the group chat where, and we saw it a couple of years ago, well, on the final day of the season, where was it? Houston had no incentive to win. They were actually incentivized to lose, and they won late. So it's tough in football, especially when you're not in. It's different in basketball. You know what? You can rest guys. You can not play as hard. In football, if you're not going full speed, you're going to get hurt. It's just, that's such a different mentality in football. But that being said, you know, it is a good point, something to think about. Which of those will you bet? You mentioned the injury angle is, I mean, I know you like taking plus 3.5. Will San Francisco be a play for you? What do you like week one?
Well, I'm certain to bet the 49ers because I bet the Rams early in the summer, like at minus 125, I think. So I loaded up on the Rams, got ahead of the acquisition, bolstering their defense. And I'm pretty much, my philosophy when I bet on a public team is always playback. APB, when a number steams like that, I will be looking to play the Niners. But what's the hurry? I don't want to play plus 3.5 right now. I'd have to lay minus 110. Let's forecast. What do you think the best number I get on the 49ers? Will I get a plus 4? Will I get a plus 3.5, lay 103? What do you think will be the very best number that will have some liquidity I'll be able to play between now and kickoff?
You'll probably be able to get a 4. I don't know. Do you think the Shanahan news, and I'm not sure, I know you've been away, I'm not sure you've been following. What a bizarre story where he gets in an accident 2 weeks ago. People in the media knew about it but didn't report it. Sounds like he's dealing with a concussion. He's not coaching the team right now at training camp. So, boy, I don't know. It's such a unique situation. I don't know if that factors into the line where you have a coach that's not there. He has a concussion. Does that carry over the season? Probably not, but I'd say around 4.
Investigative reporting, and obviously plus 3.5 minus 102 would be better than plus 4 minus 110. I was just in Palo Alto. It's impossible to get in trouble when the sun's shining in Palo Alto. Come on now. That's such a well laid out, peaceful town.
How was your trip to Palo Alto, and anywhere else you went that you think is worth mentioning here?
Sure. Saw Berkeley, saw Stanford. Impressed with both. I am more comfortable at Stanford. It's so laid out. And if you haven't been on that campus, it's just amazing how many, you know, parks and open spaces there are between the buildings. So if you're claustrophobic at UCLA or Berkeley in California, absolutely, you know, go to Stanford. The problem is, you know, you're in California, and I don't think the California politics necessarily align with mine, but nevertheless, we're going to look at the very best school that's available.
All right. For people listening right now that say, you know, I'm just starting my football research. I might have a couple bets. I might not have any. Now I'm going to get going. Do you have any advice in terms of what to bet, when to bet? I know, you know, you and I both like to load up on unders. You like to maybe wait and get the best number on the under and just fade the enthusiasm. What's a good strategy if you're betting win totals, futures, things like that? Do your research and bet immediately. Wait. Does it depend? Give me a thought or two on that.
Oh, win totals. That's so 1999, 2009. Just stop with that. Oh, it's fine to bet the college win totals. But I'm going to go out and say, unless you've got a credit account, why bother? Because you can bet skill position players under. Just selectively look to play on guys to go under there, which historically, if you bet them all under, you win. So you should do better by picking and choosing the ones that you really like to go under. And, you know, that's been a successful strategy for years. And like right now I'm selling my picks at SICpicks.com. And I have four picks up. Shocker. They are indeed four wide receivers to go under their season win number for the upcoming year. And I don't, and that's just the first wave. I would imagine I'll probably have 15 picks, and 12 of them will be, you know, individual players under before it's all over with.
I agree that that's been a very successful strategy. It's nothing, you know, it's not an opinion. It's just, it's a fact. I don't know if you've noticed this. The lines, unfortunately, have gotten a little bit sharper. They've gotten a little bit smarter in terms of how they price this, where it's almost like these quarterbacks, unless they miss three or four plus games, they're going to go over. They have kind of factored in the injury and really lowered the number to where, man, if your guy doesn't get benched or get hurt for three, four plus games, you're probably going to lose your under bet. Do you agree with that? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, 100%. So what used to be, you could make a bet, and if your dude played 17 games, it was 50-50, but he could get hurt or he could get benched, so you would win two-thirds of the time. Now, I think you're only going to win your bet maybe 42% of the time if he plays all 17 games. Call it 40%. But you know what? Out of 10 different trials, one time out of 10, he's going to get hurt. One time out of 10, there's going to be some rookie running back that takes his job, or it becomes a running back 1A, 1B. And so those other two times are going to knock your 40% up to 60%. So, that's too high. You're probably going to win 55% instead of 66%. It's still, you're reaching into an urn with more white marbles than black marbles. Yes, 5 years ago, there was a whole lot more white marbles, but it's still advantageous to look to unders.
Any of those four picks you mentioned, anything you want to tease, anything you want to give out, or do you want to make people?
Sure. Go to SICpicks.com and purchase my plays. You'll get all four.
All right.
Any team you're higher on than other people, than the market, or you just, I know you're a slave to the market and you kind of, you know, go that way. But if you had to bet anything right now in terms of a team, anyone you're higher on, lower on, I know you aggregate all this stuff, but do you have a thought or two on that?
Yeah. The Niners are going to win the Super Bowl and they're 19-1. And that's where the value is, because they went 12-5 last year, decimated by injuries. If they can, I get it. There's talk about there's some kind of power plant within half a mile of the practice facility that is messing with the ligaments of the team. I'm not a doctor. I think it's more likely to be random chance. But the fact that the Niners could have such a horrible injury year and go 12-5 means if they finally have a healthy year, they could certainly put up a 14-win season, get home field, and it's a winning organization. That would be the one team that would stand out. And our friend Gil Alexander's Washington Commanders, they were horribly injured last year. They could be a good sleeper team that goes out of nowhere and makes the playoffs again.
Are you, and I mentioned this the other day, I feel like the Seahawks, I can't remember a team that won the Super Bowl And then it's basically like it never happened. Nobody talks about them. It's weird to say a Super Bowl winning team, defending champions, a sleeper, but you know, everyone talks about all the Rams are the best team. They should have beaten them last year, which they probably should have, especially on Thursday Night Football. And maybe it was fluky, but I don't know. Do you agree? Can you remember a time when a Super Bowl champion was this under-discussed or just kind of forgotten about here coming into a season?
So it's a fascinating game, the rematch of the Super Bowl, right? So Seattle's only laying 3.5 now, and they're home against a New England team they just pounded in the Super Bowl. And I was like, that's really cheap. And then I went in and I just did my first draft of my power ratings. And I basically look at what the season win numbers are on the teams. And then I adjust for several things, including strength of schedule and some injuries. And what's this? I don't have Seattle being very good. So from a power rating perspective, gun to my head, I would actually prefer New England even at +3.5. You can do better than +3.5. So I complete role reversal from where I was 3 months ago on that very same game. I think Seattle's, they lose Walker. Who cares? It's a running back. But I think everything went right. And they were the second healthiest team last year. So New England was very healthy also. So I think Seattle goes back to winning 10 games. And they will not be a contender.
Can you give us a very brief window into how you form your power rankings and what the power rankings spit out on Seattle and why it spit that out?
I'll give you the very, very brief. If a team has a season win number of 8.5 and they have an average schedule, their power rating is 0. They have a 9.5 with an average strength of schedule if they're a 2. If they're a 10.5, they're a 4. If they're an 11.5, they're a 6. It's that simple. And then I start making adjustments. So in terms of, the very most simplistic model, that's the starting point I have. And then I start tweaking it, basically then looking at, obviously, how difficult the schedule is, how injured were they the prior year, and I feel that they're overvalued. And then I look at like very close wins and losses and the market overreacts to that. But that's my starting point. So best team in the league's lined at 11.5. They would be a 6. Worst team in the league would be lined at 4.5. They'd be a -6. Spread would be 12 on a neutral site.
Will you be betting the preseason? Good mutual friend of ours, the Hitman, unfortunately not giving out his plays. So you and I had a little cheat code there that is no longer available to us, unfortunately. And I don't think he's giving out props this year. So that's that is quite the hit because he's good at that stuff. He's been on this podcast before, and I know you're friends with him. But will you still be betting the preseason? What will your strategy be for betting the preseason, if so?
Yeah, information like the Hitman does. And, I got to give kudos to the Hitman. Like he's the best handicapper you may have never heard of. At Hitman 428, he was making a very nice living selling picks that were, and they would move faster than anybody. Like he'd release the play, and within 7 seconds, at most major books, the line would no longer be available because he was so good. And he actually said, "You know what? I'm not even going to bother because I'm making so much money betting this myself. I don't even want to bother with it this year." So all these guys are driving Lambos, wearing the gold chains, with the $100 bills, like stacks and stacks of them in a suitcase. I'm not going to say they're all frauds, but they're almost all frauds. And the Hitman's the legitimate guy that is just quietly making money and most of it is information-based, getting at the information. Where can he beat the closing line number, a closing line in the NFL laying -110? No chance. 0. But he can certainly win when he's betting under 90 for a running back for rush yards and closes 77.
Have you talked to him? Do you know why he's not doing it anymore? Is it he just doesn't want to do it? Is there a reason?
I think the juice isn't worth the squeeze that he has to spend so much time, being the guy to put up the website, collect or whatever, the Telegram, the Discord, collect the money, interact with people. And I just think he's making more per hour just betting.
Yeah, and his stuff would move instantly. He would do the thing where he's like, all right, I'm giving out a play and a play is coming. I think he would leave it at that. And you'd be logged into your account. You still couldn't get the number. It'd move by a point or two and you'd be a point or two off the number he gave out. But if you looked an hour later, a day later, it's still 3 or 4, maybe sometimes 5, 6 points better than the number. And it was just, man, it was so good. And it left you a situation where you could buy back and you'd have middles. And, man, had some good preseasons thanks to him. So, again.
And we'd all bet derivatives, right? We'd be like, yeah. he would give out, a play on like a running back, rushing receiving yards under. And we'd know there's no chance we're going to get it. So we'll just play the rush yards under and the receiving yards under and whatever you know correlates with that play, because it was almost impossible. Impossible for me, but maybe I'm just old and slow, and other people are faster than I and that were able to get down.
I know you were away, but LeBron's next team market on the prediction markets. Boy, it was Cleveland was a big favorite. Then it would swing to Miami's a big favorite. Philly was a favorite for like a day a few weeks ago. What do you make of the lines being so off? Philly was a fourth shot, a distant fourth. Is there a lesson from that in terms of just how far everybody was off and nobody really had this information?
Yeah, two lessons. One is it's fine to bet, you know, the good story, the narrative, if you're the first to get at it. So if someone comes on and says, hey, I just found out there's a report that LeBron is, you know, enrolling his kids in school in Miami, and you can bet Miami at 8-1, and then it goes to 3-1 after. Well, that's probably a good bet to put in your pocket, and you can earn off of it. But trying to bet into a market number after the move, it's all innuendo and rumor. And if you're not on the inside, you're on the outside. It goes back to the movie Wall Street when Gordon Gekko says, a whole bunch of guys are just throwing darts, buddy boy. I don't need you to be out there, you know, telling me information. I need to be going out there getting the information before anyone has it. Somebody knew that he was going to Philly. I'm sure someone made a lot of money from the inside.
Yeah, but the market didn't react. I don't know if you followed this, but it was like Miami put up something on their team page about him signing. Some press conference that ended up being wrong. So there was a lot of misinformation out there. And that was one where the market was off on that one. Do you think it'll work just as a basketball observer? Do you think he's too old, or is it LeBron, Brown, Edgecombe? I know Embiid at this point is probably shot, but what's your take on how they'll perform?
I'm not qualified. I have no idea. It depends on how the chemistry works. But, you know, I will say I am qualified on how to win betting. And I am shocked at all these prediction markets, the volume that people are willing to bet on whether, you know, the Strait of Hormuz will open within a month, or whether, certain like political events, or, you know, a player going to different places events. This is like betting on the color of Gatorade. If you're or how long the national anthem's going to be. If you don't have somebody there during the rehearsals, what are you doing? Don't even bother. That's not how to try to make money when you're on the outside. And yeah, you can go back and listen to like anthems, the last 10 anthems somebody sung 4 years ago. You're just guessing, you know, versus the person that's actually tape recording, you know, the current rehearsal.
Betting boot camp. You are running it. When is it? What can people expect from it? Give us a minute or two on that.
Yeah, Vegas betting events. We have 23 people signed up right now. It's going to be this weekend in Las Vegas, Friday. It's a high-end event, so don't attend it unless you are a larger bettor. But we will be giving away betting secrets and on Friday afternoon and on Saturday. If you need to get the specific results, you know what? Get a hold of Will somehow, and he'll put you in touch with me directly because you've got so little time. I'll use an example of like one of the betting secrets, teaser resurrection. If you have a place that lets you bet teasers and ties push, so you go 0-1-1, you get your money back, and you can have an open spot. I know that's a lot to say, but so you go ahead and you tease Jacksonville week one against Cleveland, and Jacksonville's about to lose outright. You're going to lose your teaser, and you've got an open spot. Bang. What do you immediately do? You fill it. You fill it with something. You're not trying to win the second leg. You're trying to resurrect your first leg loser. So you take a -3 like a Pittsburgh Steelers and you tease them up to +3. You try to get a push on the second game to get your money back. So 7% of your first leg losing teasers can be resurrected if you have a shop with such rules.
How is your tennis game? I know our friend Todd Wishnev is playing and playing regularly. He has some harsh, maybe even hurtful things to say about the next time he plays you. Have you been able to play? And what's your thought here on Wishnev and his sort of resurrection?
Tennis, it's great. Todd's dropping weight and, you know, playing fantastic. But unfortunately, it's a young man's game, and I'm older than Todd, and I just haven't been able to play because of health concerns, and I want to I think I got away with, I had some spirited matches with Gil, even was lucky enough to win one or two of them last summer, and that kind of pushed my legs to the point where I don't want to take the risk anymore. So I think I'm retiring.
Speaking of Gil, and we can finish on that, how about his 80-1 on the Red Sox? My goodness, an 80-1 kind of sweat-free winner. What was it like tracking this for with our buddy here? And congrats.
Anticlimactic. I mean, like, so I'm the great scapegoat. Whenever I say a play is going to win and it loses, everyone blames me. They'll just blame me for the loss. Even though I've got a document record of 42-3 when I say that play is going to win. But I zipped my lips during the Red Sox 15-game winning streak or whatever it was. But frankly, think how good this is. And how often are you going to see an 80-1 that halfway through the betting cycle or season, that team becomes the favorite to win? You're never going to see that. Crazy.
Fez, appreciate it, man. Anything we missed? Anything else you want to get to?
I think that we are good. Just, you know what? If you're still laying -110 on the day of the game, you're a dinosaur. You will not win. You're not going to. Same baseball. If you're betting, I don't care if you're betting into a dime line. The line's -130, +120. You can stay up all night, you know, analyzing your stocks and your teams. You won't win if you're not, you know, taking advantage now of the prediction markets, because guess what? The line's -125, the dog's +124, and you're paying 10 times the VIG that you would be paying on select prediction markets. And if you want to try to, like, you know, drive an Uber and pay $10 for gas when someone else is paying $1 for gas, good luck to you, but you won't win.
The last thing on this, I think this is overwhelming to a lot of people, especially the older bettors that have been around a while, used to traditional sports books. There's so many now, they just get flooded with choices of, all right, what's the best? I hear Novig, I hear Polymarket, I hear Profit X. Where how do you sort through that? Do you have to have all of them? Do you just take what you can get? How do you sort through that if you feel overwhelmed by which one to use?
Go to novig.com because it's the easiest one. They don't charge the market maker or the market taker any fees. They've got enough liquidity. Things could change down the road. It's not the one I actually use, but the one I use is a little more complicated and less widely available. So novig.com, and you're going to get the best price there more often than not versus every other prediction market or, you know, traditional sports book in the world.
All right, Fez.
You bet
appreciate
on Novig,
it.
Right?
Thanks.
Right, Will?
Yes. Yes.
Would you agree with me with what I just said?
I do. No, I think you're 100% right. And again, it's harder for people that are just, you know, they're used to the offshore, or the paperheads, or the traditional sports books. It's an adjustment, but you know what? You gotta kind of get with the times. Let us know once again, the betting boot camp and where we get your picks before we let you go here.
Yeah, Vegas Betting Event is the website to go to. And if you absolutely want to attend, it's a high end, it's an expensive event. Get a hold of Will and he'll get you my number and we can get you in still. And I only sell picks in one place, and it is sicpicks.com. If you're going to my website, Steve Fezzik or something similar, that's not my website. That's someone pretending to be me, probably with a prettier picture of me. So don't go there. You're getting scammed.
All right. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back on Friday. See you then.